Books on Tape presents Oh, the Glory of It All by Sean Wilsey. Read by Scott Brick. Prologue. Excess. In the beginning, we were happy, and we were always excessive. So, in the beginning, we were happy to excess. We were Mom and Dad and I. Three palindromes. And we lived 800 feet in the air above San Francisco, an apartment at the top of a building at the top of a hill, full of light, full of voices, full of windows, full of water and bridges and hills. Mom was the center. Mom was irresistible. Whatever she was saying or wearing or smelling of was captivating. All our senses were attuned to her. As soon as I was old enough to walk, I tried on her shoes and evening gowns and perfume, admired and wanted to be like her, so much that they had me seeing a shrink by the time I was three. The shrink said I needed to spend more time with my dad. But how? Mom was irresistible. Mom was a writer. Most days she was at her desk, on the phone, with a yellow legal pad in front of her. Mom wrote books and a column for the San Francisco Examiner. I came to see her first thing when I got home from school. My mom, the author, I thought. When she saw me, she smiled, waved, and mouthed the word tab. I reversed the maneuver 99.9% of my gender performed upon seeing her and went away, back down the long upstairs hall to the bar off the den. I opened a cabinet, removed a cut crystal goblet, set it down on the formica counter with both hands, bing, and filled it with ice maker ice. Then I took a tab from the bar's mini refrigerator, poured, and carried it back down the long hall. The ice clinked as I walked. The clinks were like music, like happiness. I jostled the tab for joy, made it sizzle up out of the goblet at me like a miniature stadium full of applause. Mom had published two books. One about throwing parties, one about battling malevolent ghosts, and was working on a third, about her childhood in Texas and Oklahoma. As far as I could tell, Dad's job was to please Mom. He was solicitous and full of care. He gave Mom everything she wanted. He helped her want things she did not know to want. Early every morning, Mom, Dad, and I took walks around Russian Hill in matching blue jumpsuits with white piping, Royal Tannenbaum style. One Sunday, on a shrink-mandated father-and-son outing, Dad took me across the bay on the ferry, recreating the commute he made as a boy, before the Golden Gate Bridge was completed, from Catholic school in San Francisco to his home in Marin. Halfway there, it started to rain, and we didn't have any umbrellas, so when we arrived, we stood in a doorway near the water. Dad hadn't shaved since Friday morning before work, and he looked rough. Even I could see it. Our matching jumpsuits were sad without Mom. Dad lit a cigarette. We looked out at the water. A man with a box and an umbrella strode past, glanced at us, stopped 50 feet on, turned, walked back, and handed the box to Dad. "I can't give you anything else," he said, "but take this." Dad said, "Thank you," and took the box. The man looked at me, looked at the ground, walked away. Dad smoked till the man was out of sight, then he threw his cigarette in the gutter and opened the box. "He gave us donuts," I shouted. Dad looked at me and started chuckling. "That guy thinks we don't have any money." He took a donut, laughed again, and blew powdered sugar out of his mouth. I ate a glazed, and then a chocolate with sprinkles. Dad ate all the rest, steadily, devouring them with great relish and no preference for jelly over old-fashioned, over chocolate or bear claw. Only pleasure, and great amusement. At home, I was either left alone or overwhelmed with attention. Mom and Dad were either oblivious or hyper-aware. They disappeared on a trip for 17 days and left me with the maid. On Mom's return, I ignored her when she called my name. She had my ears examined.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?